Okay, so today is January 18th, 2017, and Ed May and I are sitting down with Eleanor Stackis. So thanks for agreeing to come and talk to us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure, really.
So, I guess we'll start with the nitty-gritty. So when and where were you born?
I was born here in Boyne City in 42.
Were you born at in a hospital or...?
Mm-hmm. Went from my home on West Street to Charlevoix Area Hospital and just made it and had a twin brother.
Oh, wow. So you have a twin brother?
I had a twin brother. He passed away.
Got it. So what are your parents' names?
Ed and Cleo Hosmer, H-O-S-M-E-R.
Okay, and your mother's maiden name?
Kent, K-E-N-T.
Got it. So your maiden name was Hosmer then?
Correct.
Got it. Cool. And what did they do?
My dad worked at the tannery until he got Hodgkin's disease and died. My mother worked at Ben Franklin's store down here on the corner and raised her four children.
Wow. That's cool.
And the house still stands on West Street.
Mm. So, was your family always here in Boyne City?
Yes.
Got it. What do you remember about your grandparents?
On which side? Both sides?
Yeah, either.
My grandma and Grandpa Kent, that was my mother's maiden name, they moved in from out on Tainer's Corners,
mm-hmm.
off a farm,
mm-hmm.
and went to Line Street here in Boyne. And then he passed away, and they just survived with their children. And then that was on my mother's side. My dad's side, he was an only child, and he was raised on Lincoln Street, and he worked at the tannery, which was at the end of Elm Street, where the Harbridge Park is now.
Got it.
So they used Elm Street as the road to go to work.
Wow. So did he have a smell? Like, is that everybody keeps talking about, oh, the people who worked at the tannery, you could tell they were coming from a mile away.
I didn't feel that from the body or from the person.
Uh-huh.
You felt that in the community because of the stacks.
Mm.
And, you know, that was leather making.
Right.
And so, and then the boat would come in, you know, and drop coal. So between the coal and the tannery, and the leather making,
it's a good deal like East Jordan when they fire the cork shop, mm-hmm. the cork room
right.
comes up, you can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
On the end of Grandma Street would be West Street. A man
Correct.
Used to live there, and when I came here in 62, you could tell he worked at the tannery because he was a bachelor. And I'm sure a lot of his clothes that he wore in the tannery were on the porch, so to speak. So there was a distinct odor to people that, when they brought their clothes home and things like that from the tannery. But as far as the tannery is concerned, if you get downwind of it, it's like almost any business.
And you just got accustomed to it. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I went from West Street to Elm Street to Front Street that I'm on now,
mm-hmm.
and we paid no attention to that. Our funeral home was there, and our old house was there, and you know, men went to work and men went back that street to work. They just, you know, you never, we didn't pay any attention to it.
It will be,
you know, maybe on a windy day.
Yeah, be kind of like the old pickle works.
Yeah, on a
stack. The pickle barrels down here.
Mm-hmm.
You get downwind of that on just the right time of day, and your eyes are probably water.
Mm.
But
wow.
it comes with it. But as Eleanor says, you don't notice it.
Right.
No, I don't.
You acclimate to it.
No, none of us kids did. My mother certainly didn't. My dad lived there before he died. You just paid no. If there was that much smell, you smelled it and it was gone.
Yeah.
And you paid no attention to it.
Got it. Did he ever take you to work? Were you ever able to go inside? And
certain parts of it.
Got it. Yes.
Elm Street was the direct shot to the tannery, and went in the back, and that's, if you had a car, that's where you parked at. Mm. And then you went into your job through those doors.
Wow. So what kind of things did you do with your grandparents? Do you remember doing anything with them, or?
Nope.
What about your parents?
You just went to, well, my dad died when Bo and I was only 5 years old.
Mm.
So my mother went to work, and she raised 4 kids. We all had our jobs to do when we got home from school, because she went to work and didn't get home until 5 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, if there was a, our driveway was quite long. And so, you know, the first one home was to grab a shovel and at least shovel the end of it so she could get in with the old model A.
Wow. So your mom was a single parent then? Did she ever remarry?
Yep.
No. Wow. And 4 kids all by herself.
Yep. So an older brother, older sister, and then Bo and I were twins.
Bo, now was he married to Chris Hosmer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. My grandmother, Donna Sloan, she was friends with Chris for...
So which school did you go to when you first went to school?
I was down here in the elementary. Morgan Shaw had just gotten started a little bit later than that, because mm-hmm. my kids, you know, went up to Morgan Shaw. So it was the old schoolhouse. And I had Addie marched as a kindergarten teacher.
Hmm.
But she wouldn't take her rules and regulations were not to have twins in the same class. So Bo went one way and I went the other way. But, you know, it was all right there.
Well, that was,
I mean,
that
they
was,
didn't do anything because that was a
that
3-4 schoolhouse.
Then. Yeah.
I mean, elementary from the basement, middle, and high.
Hmm. Crazy. So what would you guys do for fun as kids? I mean, besides chores, was there anything?
Not really. I mean, you had to help your parents, not just us, but a lot of people lost their parents.
Hmm.
For whatever reason. And so you sort of had jobs to do. And when you were able to get a job, then you went out and earned your money if you wanted whatever on the side,
mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
And the Camry was our only, mm-hmm. really.
Lumber was gone.
Lumber,
at that time period, lumber had ceased to exist.
Yeah, really. And people depended on the tannery, that work. The cobalt coming in, that was a treat to Boyne. Everybody, you know, would hear that whistle and, you know, they knew they were going to load the coals, and people that didn't know about it went down to see the boats and load it and
Crazy.
Get it out of town.
Well,
Crazy.
That was the time period that Boyne City was at its low point.
That's right.
Because right after the First World War,
mm-hmm.
not only did all the soldiers come home, but Depression hit the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We ran out of wood. The tannery maintained, and there were empty houses.
Right.
It was a low point in Boyne City's economic.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it was at the tannery. I mean, people that worked was at the tannery.
Where did your mom work?
Ben Franklin Street.
Oh, that's right, Ben Franklin. Got it. And she worked till 5 o'clock, like 9 to 5, typical.
I think it was 9 to 5.
Got it. Wow. So where was your first job?
Babysitting. People around.
Got it. Do you still see some of the kids that you used to babysit for?
No.
No.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know. They were just, I didn't babysit for them. They were, you know, my age, living next door. And then the other side, they were gone.
Hmm.
One was my age, and then the rest were gone.
So what year did you graduate from high school?
What year did I graduate? Jeez. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure this out.
55, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there?
A little older than that. 59 or 60?
Mm-hmm.
And did you graduate from Boyne?
Yep.
Got it. At the school across the street?
I went to school over here.
Got it.
Yeah, that went all through some of our kids. I had kids in all four schools at one time. You know, they opened up the fourth mm-hmm. ward school.
Yeah.
And you had this one down here, and then you eventually, we got the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth ward is an apartment house.
The fourth ward, what kind of school was that? Was that just like a preschool?
No, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. K through 4.
Oh.
Something like that.
Well, you had four ward schools.
Yeah.
You had four ward schools, and then the big high school came.
Right.
So, like, when you say ward school, was that like an elementary school?
Yes, to a degree, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had grades, because
mm-hmm.
There was three floors in the fourth ward. Still is, I think. So there was a lower level, the middle, and the upper.
Mm-hmm.
That was there.
Got it.
And now I don't think there's any ward that's operating.
No.
They're all apartment houses. They're all torn down or something.
What was the reasoning for the ward schools? Just to kind of like separate the kids and make it smaller class size?
No, I think it was probably finances.
Oh.
It was probably possibly cheaper to run.
Okay.
Kids walked. We didn't have all these buses that you have today that pick them up there and take them over to the front door.
Right.
Is what I say. I made my kids walk.
Got it. Where did your kids grow up? What street did they grow up on?
Front Street.
Oh, yes.
Or Elm Street.
So that's not that bad.
I'm on Front Street.
That's not bad.
I went from the top of the hill to the middle of the hill to the bottom of the hill.
There you go.
aren't you going to take us to school? No. If you want to ride the bus, it can pick you up at the corner of West and Lincoln and get you to school after they got out of the fourth ward.
Got it.
Or get down there and you can take this route. You walk.
Now it's kind of...
Walk now?
Now, and I think they've just made everyone so afraid of everybody. You know, it's...
Kids don't walk?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
But then that's not all their fault either.
No, right.
You got a lot of single parents.
Yes.
You got both parents working. You got kids on their own. So there's lots of reasons.
Yep.
And the family structure has changed.
Oh, it's a whole other ballgame.
For me, I think it's a safety, concern. Like they did a really good job of the whole stranger danger and, that whole thing. So I think for myself, being a parent, it's kind of like, well, I don't want anybody kidnapping my child, and I realize it's a little irrational, but especially in Boyne City. But are there any community events that stick out in your mind from when you were younger?
Probably the 4th of July parade.
Mm. It's always.
I mean, there wasn't
a
lot of activities in the community.
No.
That wasn't. I mean, you can't say what we've got today is what we had back in my time.
Mm-hmm.
People.
Because it just wasn't there.
People don't remember, but at one time, Smeltania.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Was not only a way of getting food, but it was entertainment. Because when the smelt would run, everybody would bubble up. There was something to do. You had entertainment that you didn't have to pay for. It was almost a therapeutic.
Well, it was fun to go out on the ice. It was fun to go down, not necessarily behind the chamber, but even though we did go down through there.
Well, down to Advance.
It was best to go out to Advance. That was where everybody went to go smelt tipping.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was lit up at a certain time, and everybody was out there. They had their own way of, getting the smelt, which was literally going in with waders and just grabbing them and putting them in their bucket or basket, and when they got a full, they just came home.
Hmm.
That was their eating.
Wow.
In fact, too bad it's not there, because smelt were very, very good.
And they can smelt.
Yeah.
It was, people would eat smelt literally year round from what came out of the smelt mines.
Right.
Hmm. Wow.
And I'm not even sure there's a smelt out there.
So what kind of entertainment did they have there?
Nothing. It was just turn on the lights and got in your car and made sure you had all your stuff, waiters and a bucket. I can't remember a scoop.
Pat remembers going down with Grandpa to Advance, and they had what looked like big minnow nets.
And dipping that way?
And they'd dip these and just dump them into wash tubs.
There was a family in town that was always out there, and they would sell their smelt.
Oh, wow.
And two brothers, I think they were. And they would, they were always there, always there. And then, you could buy your smelt from them for whatever you wanted.
Wow. Entrepreneurs.
But you had to clean all these things, too.
Yeah, right. And they're really little, aren't they?
Well, they're not big. I mean, if you got a big one, well, that was something.
Yeah, but they were not that size.
So it sounds like they'd be a pain to clean.
Cut off the head and, you slit them and you cleaned them and fried them. And everybody had their own recipes of what to do with them.
Hmm. Got it. And everybody ate them.
Everybody ate them.
Hmm.
Well, at least I think. I mean, in my family, did. That was, if you got a smelt, and that was the next night's meal because we didn't freeze them. But a lot of people did freeze them, but they got one.
You didn't have the corner store.
Uh-uh.
You didn't have everything we have today. And that not only meant enjoyment, it meant fun down there, dipping, it meant family gathering, people getting together, but it was also your food.
That's right.
It's like, let's go out and chop wood. All right, well, we can go chop wood for exercise, but it used to be go out and chop wood so you won't be cold at night.
Right.
It was a different time set.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's, Eleanor can remember it. People that are my age and older from here, remember? I'm a transplant. I came here in 62, but I can remember hard times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different time in the world.
Oh, yeah. And kids went to work as soon as they could get to work, or they found odd jobs to be able to help out if you had parents to be able to help out. Or like my brothers and sisters, we all went to work as soon as we could to help, mother put food on the table.
Wow.
So you tell your own kids that today, and they just sort of laugh at you. Oh, yeah. I said, no, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. Clean up your plate. I don't care.
There are parents who won't allow their kids to get jobs because it interferes with schoolwork and things like that.
And I grant you that was sort of different, too, but we still had homework. My kids all had homework.
Mm-hmm.
It was the way they had to be the structure of that child. And you don't do anything until the homework is done before we have pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids were active in everything in school. Come home, you don't go outside to play if you want to go to this function tonight or whatever.
Right.
And we always sat down to the table at 5 o'clock to eat.
Oh.
Always. So at least because our business was 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were busy at that time, then one of us was either on the door, but dinner was always ready, and one of us would sit down with the family.
Hmm.
Well, let's swing into Eleanor's business years.
Sure.
When you worked for Jimmy as an assistant, if I remember correctly, when you were still in school.
I started working in a funeral home, taking care of his kids when his first wife died.
Yeah. Mm. And then Jimmy's wife passed, and
they had four small children, and she died with MS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So.
And I had the privilege of being scoutmaster for some of them.
And then Jim and I were married. We had two, and together we raised all six.
Wow.
And a business.
Wow. So you guys were quite the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you... So how many years did you own your business?
Well, it's gone through three generations. It's never changed hands.
Wow.
Until, you know, in the last 20 years.
So he was here, and his family was here, and he just took over for his family.
Yep.
Got it.
It was Jim's dad, and then his dad's dad before that, Grandpa.
And that was a funeral home, correct?
The first funeral home was right down here by... I gotta go back up the street. Lake Street behind Eyes on Main. There's an alley mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yeah.
Right now it's Now and Then, or what's that?
Cindy Franco's.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a funeral home at one time.
Oh, okay.
Well, it would be Jimmy's granddad.
Right.
Made furniture at one time.
Correct. In fact, if you came to my garage, I have a trunk. A wooden trunk that he would take in on his jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy, but it's got, you know, the handles on the side, and you open it up, and then you lift out the inside. I had it in the funeral home for a long, long time. As people would walk in to the left of the register book, so they, not only a chair could they sit down, but, you know, a winner. It was easier to sit on that trunk and take off your boots and things.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know. So... And then when, you know, we retired and built our house, that trunk came with me.
Well, having your job as a funeral director and knowledgeable of funerals as required, it also gave you a great insight to people in town.
Oh, yeah.
And families.
Yeah.
And you knew, in other words, okay, I know Monica, I've met her sister, I wouldn't know your sister if she walked in the door right now because I met her in passing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, I think, three kids?
Yep.
Okay. But from your perspective, you knew them by name, by sight, by personally. So
at that time.
Yes.
I can't do that now.
No, mm-hmm. but you...
75% I can, but...
You knew almost everybody.
Yeah. Oh, and he's right. We pretty much knew every family that we were dealing with.
Wow.
Either both or one or the other.
Wow.
And you became attached to them. I mean, you know, I'd have people and Jim would have people and we did all of our own work, just Jim and I, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Not only did we have the funeral home, but Boyne City never had an Amulets. So we had bought an Amulets. Well, Jim Scholes ran it at one time, and he ran it after us. Well, we bought our Amulets and to give the community, you know, that service.
Mm.
And then we sold, and another gentleman lived here, and he picked it up. And as things changed, it's worth it.
Right.
So, wow.
Well, back at that time, another area which I can remember where you had ambulances connected to funeral homes was Sheboygan, because my wife's family wound up moving to Sheboygan, and one of the people we knew up there was in the funeral director, and also they had ambulances.
Mm.
So they connected back then years ago together. It was common, but where it came to pass, you had ambulance service and funeral services.
Yeah.
So if someone needed an ambulance, they would call you then? And
mm-hmm.
you'd send the ambulance out?
Yeah, with us.
Got it.
Well,
and take them
wherever. You didn't have the city ambulance.
You didn't have any ambulance like that.
Yeah.
You were lucky to have a fire department or a police department.
Yeah.
One or two or one engine or whatever.
Huh.
Because my dad was a fireman until he died. And it was right over there.
One of the things that I remember from Jimmy, I've had 49 years as a member of the Masonic fraternity. And one of the nice things about having Jimmy in the funeral home here was when we'd call Jimmy and say, we've got a Masonic service, he was a member of the lodge and he knew what we needed and he knew what we expected and we knew what he would have ready for us.
Right.
It was, at that time, the fraternity
mm.
was more ingrained with services for their brothers.
Mm.
And it worked well.
And, you know, at all that time, your time, my time, in that, it was full funerals. And now if you do a full funeral, that's very unusual.
What does that mean, a full funeral?
Well, you would go to the hospital or home, make the removal, do the embalming, do the dressing, see the family, and they would select out their merchandise that they wanted, a casket. We sold lots for the cemeteries, the vaults, things like that. And now it's, most of it is pick them up, wrap them in a sheet, put them in the required container, and off to the crematory.
Got it. You see a lot more cremations.
Oh, every funeral director does.
Got it.
Well, not to make it
and
sound...
And I'm not knocking the crematory or anything like that, but it should be handled a little bit different, in my opinion, because even today, say something happened to Dick today, and his request that Pat wants is, you know, a direct cremation. So let's pick him up, wrap him sheet, put him in the box, get the necessary paper signed, get him filed, and we're off to the crematory. Boom, right away. We might be gone within 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't have a chance to absorb anything, or their kids don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, it's too expensive. Well, it depends on what you pick. It's like you going and picking a $10 dress compared to a $50 dress.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for everybody.
Right.
Plus there's what we call Charlevoix County Social Service. So there's X number of dollars that we can get there, but he wouldn't have a choice, or Pat wouldn't have a choice. This is what we can provide.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different ways and details and things that can be done.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And we see the after effect.
Right.
I mean, I can remember a case that I had to go to. I had to go get a 16-year-old boy out of the Boyne Theater that the mother said was at the theater. And his dad had dropped dead with a massive coronary at his house. Not old. And so when the boy went to the theater, mom and dad were okay. So this happened in between there.
Mm.
And this 16-year-old boy had a real hard time dealing with this.
Mm.
Real hard time. And he had some after effects.
Mm.
And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it besides work with them or get them help when they need that help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you provided, it sounds like you provided a lot more than just funeral services.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus an ambulance for the community, plus raising 6 kids and a husband. Plus, we attended everything in our community.
Yeah.
No matter what the age was. We all skied.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and I taught skiing. So, you know, everything was pretty much like a family situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can take avalanche. If Walt Ward and Jim and Eleanor Stackus didn't patrol that hill, we probably wouldn't have a basic ski area.
Mm-hmm.
Like a warming hut. And, of course, we don't have skiing now, but we had a Pomo lift up there.
Yeah, I've seen pictures and stuff.
And we had, there was quite a few people that would ski up there. But a lot of that was all volunteered by the community.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to open something up that we thought we could grasp and keep our hands on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we were all skiers.
What would have been your most memorial experience as a funeral director? Which ones, what stands out the most to you? And I'm not trying to pry or open up any
in what
bad
way?
Memories.
Just, oh, no, I'm okay with that.
Just the impact to the town of one of the services. In other words, I'm looking like when Harvey Varner passed.
I was going to say, well, not necessarily Harvey as much as it was the Harvey's son. His son and the Belford boy that was killed coming home from school in the UP.
Because
mm-hmm.
We had to hold all of that into the high school,
mm.
in the auditorium. And that was a double. So that meant, you know, we pulled in all of our help that could do it. And then we all worked together. Petoskey, Charlevoix, Eastern, Boyne City, when we need that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Barl. Because if we didn't, you know, it would probably none of us would survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's times that you need two hearses. Well, nobody's got two hearses.
Right, yeah.
Today's world, nobody's got a hearse.
Yeah.
No, no, I mean, if we have a hearse, it's not ours. It's because we went and borrowed it.
Yeah.
But it's that type of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back to your question, it would probably be, and I don't remember all of that. Jim was the one that was really, would be the three La Brick boys.
Mm-hmm. That was a military. The boys were in the service.
Joe La Brick goes, I grew up going to church with Joe and Sandy. So,
three La Brick boys.
Mm, yeah. So it sounds like young people were really.
But, you know, it's hard to say that we had more young than anything, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had newborns right up to 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eleanor is one of the few people that can understand when I say the weight of logistics. Now, you pass 20 people. Small room, low key, no problem. Harvey Barnum passes 100, 200, 300, 400, well, maybe 500 people. Will the Catholic Church hold it? Well, the man wasn't Catholic. We're not talking religion. We're talking space to hold the service.
Mm. Catholic Church is the largest until we go to a high school.
Mm-hmm.
500 people. I can put 10 to a pew.
But that's
maybe
just,
sometimes more.
But you just stop to remember. In other words, you're having six people over for dinner. Oh, we'll have to bring the extra chair up in the basement.
Right.
No, you've got 500 people.
And you have to play with all the codes. I mean, if that church seats 500, I can seat 500, but I can't start putting up chairs in this center aisle or this outside aisle, which I've had some of my ushers try to do. And I said, I can't do that.
Mm. Yep.
You have to leave for fire code, and you never know when you're going to have a fire marshal sitting at that funeral.
Mm.
2 years ago, I had one.
Oh, wow.
Presbyterian church. Had no clue. Thank God. And it was packed. I had them packed. And pretty much I know how many people I can get in every pew in church.
Wow.
And these are just all part of the problems.
Yeah.
It's hard to roll within this town.
So, or you know, how you get them in, say, each pew, I'll use the Catholic Church. Each pew will take 10 people. Well, you might, and I can scan that and say, oh, it's 8, I need 2 here. Well, I work with 4 other ushers. Incidents that happen during the winter is you've got a big coat on.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's right here beside me. So you get people that are a little upset with you because you ask them to either put it under the pew or hold it, or I will be more than happy to hang it. Oh my God, they get mad.
And then there's the oddball. I remember being the oddball. Friend's wife had passed. 2 days after surgery, I got Chuck Davis came up and got me out of the hospital, brought me down for the services. I walked in, saw Eleanor. There was no chair easily for what I needed, and I said, I just got out of surgery, may need the restroom, want to be here. Well, she very politely but firmly asked two people to move from this area and put me there, and there was the commode. You know, but it's the little touches which make a person a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might see me. I mean, I've met people with a bathrobe and slippers and
yeah,
everything. But it's that is meeting the people and being able to still take care of them under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
That's one advantage of living in the funeral. And right. A lot of people won't agree with that, but a lot of people don't live in the funeral home because they want to go to work at a certain time in the morning and get home mm-hmm. at a certain time at night. Yeah.
It seems to me that being, you know, entrenched in your community would probably be an advantage to being a funeral home director. I mean, to be such a part of the community and to not have it just be a job, but to actually have it be your life.
That was my life. That still is my life.
Right, yeah.
You know, and a lot of my colleagues, and I'm not the funeral director.
Okay.
I have no license to do nothing.
Okay.
I married a funeral director.
Okay, got it.
And raised six kids and...
So he went to school.
Oh yeah, he was a licensed funeral director and a licensed pilot and a licensed this and a licensed that.
Wow.
No.
He was quite the guy.
I just But I always liked to do hair, I always liked to do cosmetics, so it was easy for me to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a hunting camp, so he'd go hunt for 2 weeks and everybody around would help me out. Because they also want to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it wasn't anything. I mean, I could see families. The only thing I couldn't do was embalm a body.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I think I could lift that artery and embalm that body.
Probably.
Because sometimes I've had to, you know, and I'm in the prep room as much as the guys are in the prep room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it takes these extra two fingers compared to your two fingers and your two fingers to lift arteries. And even though you have all the surgical tools and equipment, you know, it's better to work with your fingers because things don't slip. And then you get this all together and it's gone. You get it together again, it's gone. And our prep room was the business, but we also lived there, so I could hear him, you know.
So was that hard to, like, separate yourself emotionally? Because I imagine a lot
of times... No, because I didn't believe in that.
Okay.
I could cry along with Dick as much as I could cry along with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a small community, you have that.
Right. So you would just let yourself feel all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could depend on... Everybody's got close friends. Everybody's got family. I mean, we were little when my dad died. And then we also buried our son, our older son. And, you know, the guys all worked and came down and everything. But Jim and I were going to do that funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I've buried a lot of my friends, of course, in a small community. Everybody knows everybody. So you can get focused to a certain point. And probably people that know me well enough knows, you know, when I'm focused. But I could also take the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church and tell you everybody that's there, because if I put Pat, and she came in for a 10 o'clock service, and I put her to the right on the right-hand side or something, and Dick came in 2 minutes before, if I can scan that church, and Pat's over here, I think I can get you in there, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Well, then, what year did you... I don't mean to disconnect, but what year did you sell the business?
Been out for 20 years.
Okay.
Because David Beek worked there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd's going is the next.
So was David a funeral director?
David Beek?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Licensed funeral director. You have to be licensed to be able to do, you know, conduction. Yeah, and I've done it.
Well,
but you never know when there's going to be a state inspector.
Right.
They don't have to tell you when they're coming.
Got it.
Our state inspector for our funeral home always inspected our funeral home when Jim was on his 2 weeks canoe trip. And I could give you his name this day. We're friends. And I, you know, I could see him coming. I mean, Jim's gone. And he would just say, you know, I don't even have to check. I have to be here paper-wise. But if you don't have anything to hide, then they know that.
Mm-hmm.
So they just walk in, walk around the house, and my exit signs are, you know, is your prep room clean? Go check it, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because your prep room looks like an operating room.
Got it.
I mean, we have that big tray that moves right up to our table, and all the instruments and everything are there and clean and sterile, and our kids all had to learn to work out there, too.
And this was in your home?
Mm-hmm. Where it's at right now.
Got it.
But it was a 3-4 house. I used to come up to where the chapel, where the doors are now, to the right was a 1-2-3 old-fashioned 3-4 house. And then there was a porch. And that's where Grandpa Stackus, when he retired and was still alive, would sit on that porch. And people would come in, you know, that door, and talk with him and so on and so forth. It wasn't the chapel door or anything, but, you know, he was still part of it. And then when we brought all of our family and built on the back, we, instead of going up and down these old-fashioned stairs, we brought everything down, and then we rented that to skiers upstairs.
It's funny you think of skiers staying at a funeral home, but hey.
Hey, they became good friends.
Yeah.
Because we were all skiers.
Yeah.
They'd call and say, how's the hill?
Hmm.
I mean, Jim and I and all of our kids skied.
That's cool.
Avalanche. To keep that open, we patrolled it.
Are you pleased with how it's... It seems like there's been, like, some more investment going into Avalanche, which is nice with all the trails and stuff. I heard recently that they got a big grant.
I'm not with that anymore, so I don't know.
Got
Unless
it.
Unless I get nosy and go down there, and I don't want to.
Yeah, got it.
Because... no, I shouldn't say that. I don't want... No, I'm not going back on city commissions or mayor.
Yeah, so you were the mayor here in Boyne City.
I'm not going back.
For how long were you the mayor?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I was involved in politics.
Well,
Jim went on the school board after our kids got big enough to be, you know, on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Not babies at home or anything. And so Jim went on the school board, and I was on city... I was on ZBA first. What, 2 years, I think? Wasn't interesting. Didn't move fast enough for me. And then I was on the city commission for a couple years. And then they elected me. I was mayor pro tem, and then the following year I was mayor. Don't ask me how many years, because I don't even know. Other than when I decided I was going out, I was going out.
What were some of the major accomplishments when you were in the mayoral position?
Oh, there was a lot. You know, our waterfront, the tracks are gone, the condominiums in, took a lot of heat on that. Not too much downtown. You know, that the new building that's ready to be opened, you know, that was in the works for a long, mm-hmm. long time.
Mm-hmm.
Got the fire department down here instead of out here where we were paying $2,000 a month. For that building, plus I think it was 7 minutes we lost from point A to get to point B. It had to be on one side of the river, one or the other. You know, this is centrally located. Town clock was, you know, a big issue at one time.
And they're putting it up today.
Are they putting it up today?
Yeah, I was drawing my eyes on it.
They're not putting the clock up, they're putting the framework up.
Okay.
The tower.
Got it.
It was, that came in today. And
that's why those guys were all down there, because they came by and they were all waving. Yeah. I thought, what are they doing? This isn't even done yet.
Yeah.
Trust me, I keep a bunk up. And I still voice my opinion to,
you know,
certain people.
It's unusual, but in an off-handed kind of way, I followed the clock from when it wound up in John's garage.
John Tolway.
Yeah. And different times, and I followed it out to the waterworks building, where I went out and took pictures of it before it got shipped out.
Where are you saying?
I think it was waterworks. Not up here on the hill, but up by the sewer plant.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, and because it's, took pictures of it laying in the floor there, and it's kind of interesting because I interviewed one of the last clock winders, Jack Gary, and his it would be Revo Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go up the old and wind the clock when it's up in the tower.
I don't even know, is it going to be a working clock at the new facilities, or is it just going to be...
They've sent the clock out to the manufacturer to have it redone.
Probably the one we had when we were there, because we interviewed that guy a couple times and decided,
so
we didn't have right at that point.
It'd be neat to see that go back in.
I think isn't there something down there where it is going? I don't even know. I haven't been through the new part.
They stood the tower up today.
Okay.
So it'll go up on top of that.
Yep.
Okay. So that's probably what they were taking pictures of.
Yeah, I was turning my way too.
Oh, were you?
Seeing them all standing out there.
And
it's
and then it dawned on me, you know, the new building.
Because I remember when they had it down here by the bank. And Bill Porter came over and tried to put more of electric controls on it.
That was during my time.
But it was the clock
had
gone through.
I have no clue.
The
I don't
clock
keep track of
that
stuff.
Of
yeah. I don't keep track of it all.
You mean you don't have it on your resume?
No.
I just, you know, I know I was in, and when I felt that I couldn't or I didn't want to go any longer, then I said, you know, this is my last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or I give them one more year and say I'm out. Because I'm a firm believer. I couldn't stay there like some. And I think you can get set in your thinking and not look outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always said that. Anytime I gave a program, you know, don't think that you can do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't do the things that I used to do 10 years ago. And, you know, I'd deal with the funeral home and the memory. You know, I could call boom, 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 everybody and they came through that door by their first name. Now I have to look when they get out of their car and think, who is this?
Yeah.
Who was that masked man?
Whoa.
Yeah.
And sometimes I cheat because, you know, hi, how are you tonight? Make sure you sign the register book for me, please. And then when they go in, then I look.
Yeah.
But
that's a good secret. That's a good tip right there.
Has everybody signed the membership book,
yep.
please?
Yeah.
I'm taking the minutes. I have to put who was here.
Well, it's just like City Hall. I like to know, you know, when I came in as a city commissioner and then the mayor, or mayor pro tem and right into the mayor. There's a lot of people I didn't know there. But it didn't take me too long to figure out, you know, I need to know your name.
Mm-hmm.
Full name.
Were you ever, it doesn't seem like, just a little bit that I know you, that you were ever intimidated by being mayor or having, no? Yeah.
No, I have, there's a few people that, you know, I could handle everybody nicely. They might burn me up, but I could handle them nicely.
I don't think that you could be a successful funeral director and handle all the sides that come with the loss of a person and be easily intimidated by any one or two people.
No,
true.
Mm-hmm. No. I might intimidate them.
You've been known to.
Are you one to really voice your opinions? And
I can't. I never, as mayor, I never led my commission,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the last one to have a say.
Mm.
And that's pretty much true, I think, how everybody handles it. At least that's what I learned when I went to some classes.
Mm. Got it.
Because the worst thing you can do is sit there and then you have all this discussion from 50 people, and then it's time for the commission to, you know, have their voice, but not the mayor's voice first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the,
you don't want to be called lead your board.
Right, you want to influence them.
One of my memories of instruction and meetings and things like that is if you ever chair the meeting, take the lowest person in the meeting and ask them their opinion first. Because if their boss gives his opinion, you won't hear their opinion.
Hmm.
And it's true.
Yeah, I can pretty much scan that crowd, 50 people.
If you're in a meeting with me and you work for me and I say I'm opposed to that, Eleanor, I don't care. You really want to be careful taking me on because I've already expressed my feeling and you can tell I'm hostile about it.
Right.
And so you let the lowest person in the poll speak first and then work your way up. And you get more honesty out of it.
You know, well, I didn't have that problem. You know, whether I had a full house or nothing, you know, I went through my rules and regulations first. And I will call on everybody. Everybody has. And I talked with my hands. Everybody has 5 minutes. And, you know, I had somebody on my side that was. Or I could look at my clerk and
set the clock.
And I watch that clock.
Yep.
That clock was on the back wall. And I could tell. I mean, I knew I was going to have a full house, standing room only. And once we moved the meeting to the Boyne City High School gym, I said, we're not going to have to do that. This is ridiculous. It's a hot issue. Da 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 da. I said, okay, fine. I don't care where I go. 60 people in that big auditorium. Dumb. And half of them didn't want to say anything anyways.
Do you remember what it was about? Are you allowed to say?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it was a structure, or it might have been the animals. I don't know. But I never treated one thing more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
I had my agenda, time to check things out. I wanted to keep my meetings to a certain point. And I had that clock on that back wall. You had 5 minutes, you had 5 minutes. And if I take 8 people that's going to speak, well, I'm going to be there longer than I think.
Yeah.
And I always had somebody that always came in right at, meeting time. And we'd always stand on the wall, and I thought, I'm not handling this. And I had a good mayor pro tem, too. Because we'd kick each other with our legs. And so I stopped my meeting, and I says, if I have chairs available, everyone will be seated. You will not be standing in the back on the wall or down the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And before I start my meeting again. Didn't take him long to get the hint.
Well, you've got to do something to make it move.
Well, yeah, and I knew what he was doing. I knew exactly what he was doing.
And you learn them, too. You learn the people that are coming in to talk.
Well, they're not too smart sometimes, because they think if I was born and raised here and I've been on lots of boards, you think I don't know you?
Right. Their reputation hasn't followed them yet.
I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
And this particular one, I always called him, because he went from one corner to the back wall to the other side of the wall. And so I thought, okay, I'll play this game for so long. And I called him Mr. So-and-so. Would you please have a chair? I have one available right here.
Preferably right up here in the first row.
Well, yeah. First of all, I never know when a fire marshal is going to be there. That's number one. And number two, I did a church funeral here just in the Presbyterian Church probably within the last 3 years. I'm seating people, and I knew it was going to be big. And I had a Presbyterian in the balcony upstairs. And so I said, read to me when the balcony's full. Have you ever been in the Presbyterian Church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm not going up and down those stairs.
Right.
And try to work downstairs and upstairs at the same time. So I said, just tell me if you got 2, 4, 3, whatever you got up there. And so he did. And then he goes, we're full. And I can't put chairs up the aisle. There's not room. I can't evacuate that building. And we got everybody in and everybody seated, and it went fine and no problems and da 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 da. Dismissed everybody, and they went to the luncheon, and this guy came down and he said, do you mind if I ask who you are? And so I said, I'm Eleanor Stackus, an employee of Stackus Funeral Home, Boyne City. He said, I'm a fire marshal from Lansing, da 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 da.
No, jeez.
And then he wanted to just compliment me for not putting up, I almost started putting up an extra chair. Well, one of the church ushers wanted to put 2 chairs on the left-hand side. And I went down and told him, I said, you can't put chairs there. And he says, why? He says, these people's got to be seated. They'll stand, or they'll stand right here by the register book, because I can't evacuate a building with a chair there. Thank God, because he says, that fire marshal caught on to that. And he says, you didn't let him do that.
Wow. Have you ever had to evacuate a funeral? No? Well, that's good.
Nope.
Hmm.
Had people sick, had to get an ambulance in, that mm-hmm. type of thing, but never had to evacuate the building.
Hmm. Hmm.
Had prisoners.
Hmm.
Because our funeral home has lots of doors. Door here and a door there and the front door and the office door. And a family room with the door there and da-da-da-da-da. But I had curtains all over. One's a flower room and a curtain, and the one's a back garage door where we come in to get our caskets in. And then I had a prisoner coming out of, what's in the UP?
Oh, Marquette?
Ishpeming, right? Isn't it? No, Kinross, is that the one?
It's a prison up there. Is it? Is
that at the air base.
Oh, anyway.
Kinchel?
Full size. It's Jackson down.
Pugsley? No, Pugsley doesn't.
Anyways, it doesn't make any difference. There's a prison up there. And there was we had the mother who passed away. And, go through a lot of stuff to do that. And so we knew the sun was coming down and what time they were arriving with two escorts, body dress, which means dress like you and I, and no attention drawn to them or anything. And this guy came in and he says, who he was, and he said, "Do you mind if I check your building out?" And I said, "No, I'll show you where this, everything's at, here, 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 and here." But I had curtains closed because there's no reason to leave them open. So he said, "Do you mind if you leave your curtains open?" "Doesn't bother me, I don't care." And then he got to the family room where I seat the family. And that curtain is pulled by the register book there, that one was closed. And then the exit door, which in case of an emergency, that one was closed. And he asked if that curtain could stay open. And the prisoner could stay with the family, but all curtains had to be open. And he stood there where I normally stand in case somebody gets sick or passed out or whatever. And he stood there and watched. This poor guy, he couldn't run from here to that window anyways. I thought, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Is what I wanted to say. But I didn't. I kept my mouth shut.
Huh. That's nice that they let him come down to go to his mother's funeral.
Yeah. I think it's only mother and dad that you can do that.
Or
if you're in young as children.
And there's a required protocol.
Oh, my God.
To follow too.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's it gets gummy.
Huh.
Paperwork, check your building. Who are you? Da-da-da-da-da.
So what do you think the biggest change has been in Boyne City?
I think, well, first of all, number one, I think it was the tannery was a big change. And that was still my time, not as commissioner or mayor. The railroad track is gone. No longer have that. But I think the biggest change that I have seen is all of our waterfront that is being used and developed. And still being developed. I'm very pleased with, you know, the new facilities that are going to be opened here shortly. That's been in the works for quite some time because, you know, we moved a building from over here down there. We've been added on, and none of that facilities was adequate for the city of Boyne City. As many mayor exchange days that I did, you know, you go someplace else and it was either brand new or up to par. And not that ours wasn't clean or up to par, but you can't move many times and have a number of trucks and fire equipment and police that we have and have them stacked, is what I always call them.
Yeah.
So this will be nice when it's all completed. And then the back buildings will all be torn down. Which is all the fire trucks, police department. What else is there?
And the ambulance will
move. And the ambulance will. Because we were, don't quote me on this. Where they were was, we were renting that building, I think it was $2,000 a month.
Yeah, the rent is astronomical on the ambulance building right now.
Wow.
And so,
and with all due respect and disrespect, the building I wouldn't want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's
And we've been criticized for, you know, what we're doing. But that's just part
people
of human nature.
People criticize everything.
No matter what you do or
yes.
how you do it or when you do it, you're going to be criticized.
Yep.
Well, it's...
Or they don't like you. I don't care what they
like. It's like you and I have said before with the work we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're doing this basically pro bono to try to maintain the history of Boeing City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no matter what we do, somebody's pissed.
Right.
And you soon learn to read people, know what they're, you know, oh, this is a bad meeting tonight. I can feel it, I can sense it. And as soon as you walk through that door, I know what's on my agenda. And I looked down and I thought, oh no, this is going to be hot, this is going to be heavy. They don't, half of them don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And nothing wrong with the people, but get your facts straight before you get to the meeting.
Absolutely. Yep.
Or call me, or call the city manager.
Get the whole story.
Call somebody.
Yeah.
And you, with all due respect, you hope Carl Wallner doesn't walk through the door.
Oh, he used to just.
We interviewed Janet, because Janet was a librarian here for so long. That was cool. But you always, I have heard more about Carl Wallner and Howard Darby.
Oh, Carl was twice as bad as Howard Darby.
Howard Darby was a pussycat. It was a
yes,
cat.
I should say, his name just keeps coming up
as
in
a
good way. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Carl would come up in nasty.
Yeah.
Don't ask my husband if he was still alive. Because Jim was on the school board and I was on the city.
Mm.
But he didn't come into the city too often because of where he lived, but he certainly did hit that school board.
Mm.
And he hit it heavy.
Mm. Yep. You know what? It's funny because, like, I have really started to come to appreciate people like that. And, like, I don't always agree with the way they handle themselves. But I think it does kind of give you a unique perspective to kind of really hone. They really make you think about why it is you're doing something. So they really, you know, strengthen your argument, you know. That's how I'm choosing to look at them now.
And if nothing else, he makes you sharpen your act.
Exactly.
He keeps you on your toes. You didn't want to have any place for him to come in and bite.
He didn't come to the city very much, but he didn't live inside the city. Yeah. So, you know, he didn't have big gripes or anything. But he sure hit that school.
Yep.
So did you have experience working with Janet as a librarian? Was it still a city library when you were mayor?
Yeah, and my husband was a reader. So, yeah, I would come in and pick up 5 or 6 books and take them home.
Got it.
And I bring them back. And I take 5 or 6 more and bring them back.
Yep.
Did either one of you ever serve on the library board?
No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Jim was on school board and active in the community and Rotarian and so on and so forth.
Got it.
And then I was ZBA and city commissioner and mayor, active in my church, active in sorority.
Mm.
I was in charge.
Yep. Yep. You seem like you were a doer.
Well, I can take example where we're at today with our Boeing City 4th of July parade that
mm-hmm.
everybody has seen.
Yep.
And
my mother-in-law, Liz, is actually in charge of it now. She does the lineup and stuff.
Lineup?
Yep.
And it was there was going downhill
mm-hmm.
for a number of years. And it wasn't hardly a 4th of July. We were lucky to shoot the fireworks. And so there was about 5 of us that got together and we said, okay, why don't we take this and see what we can do with it? So we had our own meetings in the houses. And so, make a long story short, we took that and it was still at the high school. And I said, we did that down the hill once. And we said, we can't do this. It's a state highway. We're going to get kicked out of here. I'm surprised you didn't get kicked out before that. Next year, they wouldn't let us on the state highway, M-75.
Mm.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it was nice while it lasted, but it was still a long ways for people to come down the hill and so on and so forth. So then that's when we decided to, let's do cut this parade down half, and let's put it over on by the gym and use that whole street from the 1910 building, double park this,
mm-hmm.
block it off. And we'll be fine. Plus, we thought it was going to make our parade a little shorter and just crowd the people in. And it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Except for we're going to Vogel Street, which we need to go to Vogel.
Yeah.
We need to either go to Vogel or turn, and I wouldn't recommend that, into the city park at that time, because the city park is jammed to begin with.
Yeah.
And more so because of all of our equipment, our, you know, city stuff, emergencies, yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, now you got the open space there.
So, yeah. So once they get that ball field and stuff down there, they might do that.
Yeah, it's the 4th of July parade is amazing.
But we were, there was another gal and I, we traveled within a 100-mile radius and checked what other communities were doing, and nobody was doing what Boyne City was doing.
Hmm.
So we thought, okay, let's build this baby up. And that's where it is today.
And you've watched Boyne City kind of
I was born and raised here, so I haven't gone anyplace.
Yeah, so you've seen it.
You know, Jim and I travel for our business and stuff, and with all of our kids and all their stuff. But no, I stayed here.
It seems like it's on a real upswing now.
I think Boyne is kind of long ways. It's taken a long time to get there, but anything you want takes a long time to get to.
Yep.
Be.
Yep. Especially if it's something good.
You know, our 4th of July, you know, there must be 20,000 people downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, that parade is going to Vogel Street. We've roped off as much as can be roped off. You know, the city was never roped off for a parade. Downtown, you just put your chair on the sidewalk and along the curb and walked. I mean, came. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a good committee. We had a lot of fun, and now they got a committee, and some of them have worked with us, but mm-hmm. the old bunch is out of it. Yeah.
Well, I think that and the Rolling Thunder and these other things are certainly adding to the community.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, because what Boyne Thunder started with just a few boats, and now we got so many boats on the lake that, and you have to work with, you know, everybody on that lake.
Right.
So, you know, fortunately, that's been good. I think Boyne has come a long ways. I think we've done an excellent job. I've worked with several city managers. I think Mike Kane is doing an excellent, excellent job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so not only is he doing an excellent job, I think he's got a good board and he's got a good staff.
Yep.
And he's visible in our community. And if not, you know, and I still have calls at home. You know, I can't answer you because I'm no longer there. So call Mike Kane.
I was telling him that we were working on this project, and did he have anyone in mind that we should interview? Your name was the top of the list. Yeah. It's like, you have to talk to Eleanor.
But you could go in and talk to Mike, and he would listen. Whether I was right or whether I was wrong, or if, you know, I'm not going to agree with him. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. But, you know, and I've changed, you know, after you look at a picture long enough, or I'm not one to sit back, so I was out, you know, walking, checking. It's like sidewalk day sales.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I went to so many sidewalk day sales. Or stroll the streets.
Yeah.
Is that working or isn't it working? Is this blocked off right or isn't it blocked off right? You know, a hot issue was, you know, putting tables and chairs out on the sidewalk and roping that off. And people thought I was nuts, but I was down there measuring the sidewalks. And I did disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said sidewalks are for the public. Business is for the business. But you can't rope this off from here to here and put tables out there, because it has to be roped off for alcoholic beverage to be served on public sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain areas that there's no room. So I went down and roped this off out as far as where they wanted it, came across and came across. Well, I had so much to walk on without stepping off the curb. There's cars.
Right.
That door opens to the inside of the sidewalk, and you were right to the rope almost. I said, we're opening up a can of worms. I wasn't against it, but I could see all the liability.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I still feel it.
My concern is looking at that night a couple of times, because I've assisted somebody in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I personally don't think I bluffed too easy, but I had a hard time getting a wheelchair down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure you could.
Now, this man in the chair was unable to propel himself in the chair.
Yeah.
And it was just...
If you didn't have that... No, it's got to be a curb. It's touchy.
Yeah.
Because I went down there several times, and which I did on a lot of things, and either sat and watched, or walked it, because that's the only way I knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I knew. Yep. Was put my own feet out there. But that's really bad. Well, so-and-so does it. I said, they got twice as much room as you got. Twice as much room. Mm-hmm. There's certain areas you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, it's pretty hard when you want to put two tables out there and serve alcohol, because when they got their laws, you have to go out so far and across and in. That's the pole and a pole and a pole and a pole and fencing. Well, I could hardly get down that my little spot to check it out without walking the top of the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times that I'd walk that curb, and then, like, you're going to fall off, right? I mean, you're going to step off.
Yep,
but then you got a car there that's got to open the car door.
Yep, you're asking for a problem.
I still think that.
But?
I hope they don't have any, but you're just opening up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't put all that on the public.
I won't. We'll take that. We'll take that last part out. I got good editing software. I had to do that a couple of times.
One of the work agreements Monica and I have on this is we can both listen to it, and if she feels a section should come out of it, I acquiesce. If I feel a section should come out of it, she acquiesces. Because we don't want this to hurt anybody's feelings.
No, right.
We don't want anybody to say, you shouldn't have said that about Grandpa.
Right.
Even though maybe Grandpa was a total SOB.
Right.
No, I think my part and the length of the time that I was involved in the city and boards and so on and so forth, I've seen nothing besides great things going on for Boyne City.
Mm-hmm.
We have come 100% ahead and doing it the right way from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the 4th of July, I mean, when you look at the park and see how it's roped off and the number of people that are putting their chairs down, like the Cherry Festival the night before, not their chairs are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going all the way up to at least Robert's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's going up to Boca Street where they get off at.
Yep.
No accidents, everything's safe and sound. And activities in the park are great. I mean, we got a beautiful park to look at, and it's active with things.
Yep.
You know, Rotary does they could do 600 chickens or more if they wanted to work all day.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, you know, 600 and everybody knows that's 600. There's other booths down there, but, you know, the concerts and everything that's in the park. We're blessed with that park.
Yes.
Our fireworks, you know, we're blessed with that, to be able to have that area to be able to shoot the fireworks off.
Yep.
In a safe and sound. I think once our new building is done, which should be shortly, and everything is torn down, that's going to open up that whole space there. I don't know what the talk is yet, but my thinking is to get that little league field off there and up with all the other fields at Rotary Park. And because I've had calls when it hasn't, you know, everything else has moved except for that. And they said, you know, why can't that be moved? And I said, you know, I'm out. I said, so I'll take it here. But it just makes sense. And the people that I was talking to and have been talking to, their gripe is they've got kids in the Little League and then at the two fields up at Rotary Park.
Right.
And they can't, you know, dad's working, mom's working, or whoever, but one parent is there and they're running back and forth.
Yeah. No, I think it would be better to have the field up
Do you
there.
Want, yeah, my opinion is it should be moved.
Yeah.
And only because of the pass, and that will always stick in my head, is the two drownings we had down there.
Yes. I think, was it Peters? Was that the family?
Yeah, and they lived one block from us.
Yeah, Dorothy went to the same church.
Dorothy Peters.
Yep. Yeah. My dad would always, whenever we'd go to a ball game, he'd always tell us that story to, like, don't play on the rocks.
And I
don't
was,
play on the rocks.
Were they twins? Twin
yeah.
boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because George worked for us. And, you know, they didn't have too much.
No.
And so, you know, we tried to find employees, plus our kids, but somebody that could come in and work for us that needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody that didn't need a job, I'm not saying they don't, but somebody that was could do it and listen, but really needed that job. But, I mean, they just wandered off
mm-hmm.
and went around that corner, and that was it. And that baby drops off like nobody's business.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, it's in the spring. It gets cold over there.
Cold? They put on their jackets and
yeah.
sand and bleachers. I got down there several times for a little league, and I'm freezing to death.
Exactly.
It's cold.
So if it was up off the lake, it probably would be warmer.
It seems like it should be off the lake to begin with.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know where that's at yet.
Yeah. So what's something
I think it's just because of it was put there by two men with the help of the community.
Hmm.
But both, I mean, there's lots of things that's that way.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, both families are passed away. Well, I don't even know if there's anybody around. No. One is, their kids aren't here because one graduated with me. There's no one around.
Well, things...
But you have to change.
It's like two things are, or sarcastically, three things are definite. Change, death, and taxes. And as much as I am a traditionalist, I begrudgingly admit we need to change.
But what's something that you hope never changes?
I couldn't even answer that.
Yeah.
I couldn't even answer that.
I really like the feeling in the community. Like, I feel like Boyne City has some really good people, and it's a really, you know, I hope that small town feeling never goes away.
I don't think it will, because if you look at the population, what it is, that hasn't increased.
Right.
I mean, yes and no, but as far as year round, unless you know something, I don't know, but I don't think that population has increased, you know, thousands up.
Nope.
I mean, and they say, well, yeah, but look how many people we put in here on the 4th of July. You can't count the 4th of July. That's totally different.
Right, yep.
So, you know, that's... I don't foresee any big changes.
Yep.
I don't know where the change would come to.
Well, the only thing I'm a little concerned about now is I feel that we are losing ground for the average worker.
Mm.
There is not that much employment for the average worker existing now. And a lot of the real estate values have increased quite a bit. The property values along the lake have skyrocketed. And while it does bring in a tax base, it brings us in people that aren't necessarily working here. So,
you're right.
The average worker here has, some of them are leaving in order to get employment.
Hmm.
In other words, words, we've lost our factory base. I don't believe that our industrial park is growing with jobs as we possibly thought it might have. So somebody that isn't skilled, who isn't making three figures, where do we find work for these people?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to buy things that are not on the upscale, you drive 20 miles.
Well, I also think that some of that is, there's no way of controlling that.
No, but
only because I think people have gotten accustomed to going to a Walmart's, mm-hmm. a Kmart's, and out-of-town shopping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. A Meijer's. I hear people tell me all the time, you know, instead of going to Family Fair or the dollar store or whatever we have Family Fair, they go to Walmart's, and they might go twice a week mm-hmm. and do their shopping. Or they go to Meijer's and do their shopping. You know, I think a big loss to us was when we lost the Ben Franklin store that carried a lot of things that you could pick up for kids especially. I mean, whether it was socks or underwear or t-shirts or, mm-hmm. you know, cheaper things. We lost that. You know, we lost the Caden's department store and the shoe store. No one picked up on that to, you know, come in. And I worked there part-time as a fun job.
Hmm.
In between funerals.
At the shoe store? Or Caden's?
It was arch in the middle.
Oh.
So there was two doors. Where the bookstore is, you went in this way, mm-hmm. or you could go in the Caden's store, but it was all Caden's.
Okay.
So it was a shoe store and a men's and da-da-da, I mean, where it was divided and over here.
Got
so
it.
So you worked both of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a fun thing for me.
Trivia, the upstairs was designed to be an opera house.
Got it.
And all we had was stock up and down those stairs all the time. And we had the shoe store downstairs.
Hmm. So there were there two shoe stores then? One?
Yes.
Was it
Jake's?
Jake's and?
And before Jake's, there was the Eagle.
Hmm.
And that's where Jake took his training.
At the Eagle? See, I don't remember that.
That was...
Hmm. So there's been a lot of changes, but...
Over here by the old bar.
Old bar. Has it been for the best? I can't tell you it has. But I still see that we're busy. We got more restaurants to go to.
Do you think we have more restaurants today than we did before?
Yeah. Never counted them, but yes, I do.
You do?
Phew.
Seems like looking through all those old pictures... Every other place was a restaurant.
We had a lot of small restaurants.
And supermarkets. Like, there are those superettes. It seemed like there were a lot of, like, little grocery stores.
There was.
Yeah.
Families.
Mm-hmm. And now
meat markets.
There's just the one, mm-hmm. you
yep.
know.
Little meat markets.
Yeah.
One was down where the Cleveland's office is, isn't mm-hmm. it? Wasn't it?
Yep.
Newsstand.
Irv Worthing's. Newsstand.
Gil Coon's furniture store across the street.
Yeah, now there's nothing by furniture.
So, but again, I think a lot of that, it went through a period of time, and then when these big stores started opening up, I think that's where people
went. It took mom and pa store out of business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, to be honest with you, I mean, with six kids, nobody wanted that funeral home. Out of six kids, three, it didn't make any difference.
Wow.
I mean, women could be funeral directors. There's a lot of women funeral directors.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Right.
They want to go to work at a certain time. They want to come home at a certain time. They want a paycheck. They want 2 weeks vacation. I'm thinking, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, and people don't want to give their time to the community.
Yeah, that is one big thing that I'm noticing.
It's hard to find people to work on boards.
Yep.
Run for anything.
Yes.
Yeah, don't want to do anything.
And everybody keeps, they're like, what is it about the younger generations? You know, why don't they want to do this kind of thing? And I don't know. You know,
I don't
really
want to get involved.
The answer is, yeah.
They don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
They got a job. They got a wife. They got kids.
But I mean,
and I said, I had a job. And I had a husband. And six kids.
Yeah.
And I still served on several things and worked for my community. And yep. Nobody got hurt.
Yep. And it all turned out fine.
But that's a difference, you know.
Yeah. Well, but that's the same for me. You know, I have a job here. I have three kids. I'm on different boards and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just excuses that people.
That's what they're using, I think.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, like sorority. I was president of the sorority. I'm a member of St. Matthew's Church. I was president of the Elder Guild. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So I never listened to any. Those are all excuses as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I think you're right. Definitely.
And I think you taught your kids how to give back.
Are your kids really involved in the community?
Are you kidding?
And
they wouldn't do what I did.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do what their dad did.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
See, so they had that example in you.
I don't know. In both of us.
Yeah.
Jim was a Rotarian, active in that. Well, we also managed the airport.
Oh, wow.
For years. We had an airplane.
Hmm.
And nobody wanted to manage the airport. They thought, well, if we don't find a manager, we got to close it. So, we took the radio and put it in our office at the funeral home and ran the airport for about at least a year, if it wasn't 2 years, from our house.
Wow.
And Jim was the pilot. I knew nothing about directions of the wind or whatever. Getting the airplane, fly where we're going to go, and back home when they call and say, hey, one time we just got to the Pantlin Hotel for a convention, and they said, you have an emergency call. And we thought, oh, my God. One of the kids got hurt is what we thought. We had a doctor in town that died in his house, and he wouldn't let anybody remove him because he always said, you know, when I die, Jimmy will pick me up. So we had to, got in, took that emergency call, called home, never even went to the room, got back in the car and came home and made our own removal. But, you know, and the guy said, we wouldn't have done that. And I said, well.
You seem to have been really good at going with the flow, just letting.
I did a lot of things. If it happened, it happened. If it doesn't happen, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I know what I have to think. I know what I have to do, and I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Dick says or Joe Bowe says or whoever says.
Yeah.
You can't park there. Why can't I park there? Because this is why. Da da da. 2 minutes you got, and I'll tell. Go down the street, turn around, and come back, and I'll show you where to park. I'll tell you where to park as well.
And tell you where to put your car too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just in the funeral home.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing led to another. And it's like the Catholic Church. I'm busy in my church. But I'm not running for nothing. And I'm not going to be in charge of nothing. I work, and then I'm in charge, but that's all I'm doing.
You've earned the downtime.
That's what I thought. I said, you can call for my advice, you can call for my opinion, but I'm not going to get out at night and go to board meetings and conventions and all that kind of stuff. It's time for somebody else to.
Good for you. There are so many people that are just like, hold on and
yeah,
never
because
let
I think
go.
You get old in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. In fact, I know you do because we've had people on boards.
Well, you've seen people stay on boards until. They're totally ineffective.
Yeah.
Do you think?
And yet the board keeps them there and the members keep them there because they don't want to hurt their feelings.
Well, mm-hmm. I think you should. That's my thinking. Run so many years.
Leave them wanting more.
And, well, I'll do another 4 years. Well, stop at that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even want city commission right now. Really. I don't want to get out at night. I don't want to study. I don't want to go to conventions. And there are times that I don't want to deal with all the complaints. So.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right.
I think we should start to wrap this up.
Okay. We can.